totally forgot. I'm gonna get some questions. Can I talk to you? So Jack, because you're new, I'll just say a few words about this song that we sing. It's called Jai Radha Madhava. You can pull it up on your phone. It's a very beautiful song. It actually describes different scenes in Vrindavan of Krishna's different activities. Maybe we'll come a little bit closer, huh? Is that possible? Everyone's sitting so far away, come a little closer. Your phone's upstairs? Okay, here, you can use my phone. Okay. So the first line of the song says, Jaya Radha Madhava, which means I worship that Radha who is with Madhava. Madhava means one who is controlled by Radha. Then it says, Jaya Kunja Bihari, all glories to that beautiful prince who lives in the gardens of Vrindavan. The next line is, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. He is the beloved of the young cowherd girls of Vrindavan, and he lifted Govardhan Hill on his little pinky finger. This was a famous pastime Krishna performed, where he actually lifted a whole mountain on his finger. And he was like, what, 6 years old or six? Seven. 7 year old boy lifted a whole mountain. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. He's the darling son of Mother Yashoda, and he's the beloved of the residents of Vrindavan. Yamuna Tira Vanchari. He wanders along the banks of the Yamuna and in the forests of Vrindavan. So these are different, Prabhupada actually said this song is the entirety of the spiritual world in just four lines. So it's very beautiful to know a little bit the meaning, and then you can meditate on this as we sing the song. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadhari Jai Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadhari Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanchari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari
Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunje Vihari, Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunje Vihari.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Priyaj Acharya Ashtotrasta Shri Srimad's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Priyaj Acharya Ashtotrasta Shri Srimad's Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Anant Koti Vaishnavind Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 58.
Samashitaye padapallava plavam. Mahatpadam punyayasho murare. Bhavam vidirvatsa padam param padam. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham samashitaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyayasho murare bhavam vidivatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham.
Vaishnavas.
Samashitaye padapallava plavam. Mahat padam punyayasho murare. Bhavam buddhivatsa padam param padam 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 yat vipadam natesham samashitaye padapallava plavam Samashitaye padapallava plavam Mahatpadam punyayasho Mahatpadam punyayasho murare
Mataji.
Samashitaye padapallava plavam Mahapadam Punya Yasho Murare.
Padam
Param Padam Yadri Padam Natesham Samashita.
Having taken shelter,
yea,
those who, and now the word that comes up multiple times in this verse, very important word,
Pada,
of the feet,
Pallava,
like flower buds,
Plavam,
which are a boat,
Mahat,
of the total material creation,
or of the great souls.
Padam, the shelter.
Punya,
supremely pious.
Yashah,
whose fame.
Murare,
of the enemy of the demon Mura.
Bhava,
of the material existence.
Ambudihi,
the ocean.
Vatsapadam,
the hoof print of a calf.
Parampadam,
the supreme abode.
Vaikuntha,
padampadam, at every step.
Yat,
where.
Vipadam,
of material miseries.
Na,
none.
Tesham,
for them. This verse is actually really famous. Prabhupada quotes it quite a lot, and it's also the conclusion to this whole section we've been reading, so I encourage you to please pay close attention to the verse and the purport. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon. The ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. Very little, in other words. Their goal is Parampadam Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. Purport. This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 51, where Prabhupada quotes this verse. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, this verse summarizes the knowledge presented in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are described as Pallava, flower buds, because they are most tender and of a pinkish hue. Beautiful description of the Lord's lotus feet. They're soft and they're slightly pink. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the word Pallava also indicates that Lord Krishna's lotus feet are just like desire trees, which can fulfill all the desires of the Lord's pure devotees. So they're very beautiful and they're also capable of bestowing any desire that his pure devotee hankers after. Even exalted devotees like Sri Narada, who are themselves the great shelter for the conditioned souls in this universe, personally take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And now the third quality, they're the shelter of the great souls. So three qualities have been mentioned. They're beautiful, they're soft, they fulfill all desires. And what was the third quality? Anybody remember? Anybody? They're the shelter for the great souls. That's the third quality mentioned in the purport. Thus it is natural that when Lord Krishna manifested himself as all the young boys and calves of Vrindavan, their parents were more attracted to them than previously. Lord Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure, and being all attractive, the ultimate object of everyone's love. Om Jnanatitimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Good morning, everyone. Yesterday, I told Bhakti Jack that I was going to give the class tomorrow morning, so he looked at me and put his hand on my shoulder and said, good luck, Prabhu. And I thought to myself, yes, that's nice, but more than luck, we need mercy. So before I start this class, I would like to look at all the devotees present here, especially my seniors, and ask them to shower their blessings upon me, that we can expand on what's here in the Bhagavatam, and something inspiring comes out for everyone's spiritual benefit. So I ask you all for your blessings. Unleash the hearts, open the floodgates of mercy, and let it pour, Hari Shyam. So this is a very famous verse. It's a very poetic verse. It's a very beautiful verse. And it talks about how the Lord's lotus feet are the ultimate shelter for those who want to go beyond the material world. The material world in this verse is compared to an ocean, which means that it's very deep, and you don't know where it ends or where it begins. And that's kind of our situation in this reality. We're in this system of birth and death, and we don't know where our karmas began, and we have no idea what's in store for us. And that's why it says the material world is a place where there's danger at every step. Why is there danger at every step? Because you have no idea what's going to happen to you tomorrow. The other day, Karunanidhi Prabhu said to me, he said, Prabhu, tomorrow you'll teach me how to use this device. I said, tomorrow, I don't even know if I'll be here. If I'm here, I'll teach you. We can't say if any of us are going to be here tomorrow. So the material world is a very dangerous place because we have a huge storehouse of karma that's just waiting to be unleashed upon us. And by practicing devotional service, we certainly neutralize our karma, but we still have this body and we still have to carry on with life. And things will happen to us that we don't like to teach us valuable lessons. So to come out of this complexity, the only solution, according to our Bhagavad tradition, is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet are like a beautiful boat that help you cross beyond this material ocean. And very metaphorically, it's describing that that journey becomes very short. How long does it take to step over the hoofprint of a calf? You know, the hoofprint of a calf is about this big. How long do you think it would take for you to go step over it? A single moment. And how long would it take to cross the ocean? Probably many, many moments, many, many lifetimes. So in that way, it's saying that one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then these feet are like this beautiful boat that helps us carry across the ocean very quickly and easily. Hare Krishna, Namaste, Hare Krishna. So, and this Prabhupada, and this the commentary explains is the conclusion to this section we've been reading, because the main point of this section is that actually Krishna is the soul of the soul. And he is everything. And therefore, one has to direct one's love and one's affection directed towards the highest personality, which is the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So that's the essence of what this section is all about, and that's the essence of what this verse is about. And I already mentioned how this verse describes three qualities of Krishna's lotus feet. The first is a physical attribute. Does anybody remember what that physical attribute was? They're soft as flowers, and a color was mentioned. They're pink. Very nice. Where is the second quality of Krishna's lotus feet that was mentioned? That's the third one, the shelter for the great souls even. That's great. That's the third quality. And the second quality was they fulfill the desires of everyone. Now, over the years reading Bhagavatam, I noticed that the lotus feet are mentioned quite a lot throughout the scriptures in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's lotus feet, taking shelter of his lotus feet. So I had on my own been collecting verses that mentioned Krishna's lotus feet. So I just went through my little notes and I pulled out a few nice verses that depict Krishna's lotus feet in different ways. So let's go through them, huh? And then we'll have a little discussion. So what does it mean to accept the lotus feet of Krishna? According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it can mean two things. The first thing it can mean is actual physical meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. So God has a form and he has hands and feet and they're very beautiful. So the Bhagavatam recommends meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. Here's what it says in the third canto, chapter 28, verse 21. It says the devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet, which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt, a goad, a banner, and a lotus, and actually 12 other symbols. It's just mentioned four here. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orb of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart. So let's talk about this first for a second. What a beautiful description, and what the effects of meditating on Krishna's lotus feet have is they remove the thick gloom of one's heart. So Krishna has feet, and on his feet are certain symbols, like for example, the Sudarshan Chakra. And it's explained by our acharyas that when you meditate on the chakra on Krishna's lotus feet, it removes the contamination of lust from within the heart. So for every one of these symbols, Adam, you like taking notes, you'll find this interesting. For every one of these symbols, the acharyas have given deep meanings. For example, there's a fish on Krishna's lotus feet. Does anybody know what the fish signifies? Naveen? Fish? Yes, Ru. Oh, you raised your hand, I thought. Yeah, so there's a fish on Krishna's lotus feet. And the significance of this fish is that just like the fish needs water, correct? The fish cannot live without water. In the same way, the devotee cannot live without the lotus feet of his Lord. You know? So in fact, when Krishna would walk through Vrindavan, in many times he would leave on the sand imprints of his feet on the dust of Vrindavan. And in fact, when Akrura was coming from Mathura, he saw those imprints. And you know, he got off his chariot and rolled in the dust because he felt so ecstatic, you know, seeing the marks of Krishna's footprints. And in fact, it's described that in Vrindavan, when Krishna was on the earth, all the animals and cows would be very careful when they walk through the Vrindavan never to smudge Krishna's footprints. So beautiful. They respected, they worshipped actually, because the Bhagavatam says when you meditate on Krishna's feet, the thick gloom of one's heart becomes destroyed. And his nails are compared to the orb of the moon. In fact, there is a verse, I believe is it maybe Namashtakam? I don't remember where it is. But it describes how Krishna's feet have 10 moons. Because each toenail of Krishna is compared to a moon. It's glowing bright like the moon. So you can try this sometime while chanting japa. You can come to me, I can give you, I have a little book that explains the meaning of each of the symbols on Krishna's lotus feet. The thunderbolt, the chakra, there's a mace, there's a yagya kund, there's a flag. There's actually, my favorite is actually, yeah, there's two that are my favorite. There's a line. Okay, don't, this is funny, but take a look at your foot. You'll see there's lines that go through your feet, right? So there's actually a line that goes right in the middle of Krishna's foot. Does anybody know what that line signifies? It's really beautiful. Any guesses? Why is it? It looks like a rope almost. How about that? I'll give you a little clue. It looks like a rope. The rope that what? Ties Krishna with? No? Good guess? No? Good guess? Anybody else? It's like a rope that comes out of Krishna's feet. It signifies actually that this rope, Krishna sends this rope into the material world to pull conditioned souls out. That's what his feet represent. His feet are the rope that Krishna sends into the material world to extract conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. Another last symbol we'll mention is there is a goad. A goad is something that they use to drive an elephant. In India, if you ever go to Mayapur, who's been to Mayapur? In Mayapur they have, remember those two elephants, what are their names? Lakshmi and Vishnupriya, right? So sometimes in the morning you see the mahouts taking the elephants for a ride, and it looks really majestic, you know, these elephants like, you know, and their trunks swinging. It's really ecstatic, actually. And they're carrying a little sharp object. You know, in case the elephant starts misbehaving, they drive the elephant with that object. So Krishna has a goad on his foot. And this goad, it represents actually the ability of Krishna's feet to control the wild elephant of our mind. That, my dear Lord, my mind is really wild. It goes in all directions that it doesn't need to go. So please, let your feet be the controller of my mind. So in this way, while chanting japa, a devotee can meditate on symbols on Krishna's lotus feet and become absorbed in thinking of his Lord. So that's one way in which we can approach Krishna's feet, by actually meditating on them. Another way to approach Krishna's lotus feet is actually to hear about him. To hear about Krishna also is taking shelter of his lotus feet. And here's what the Bhagavatam says. This is a very beautiful verse. O my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet. Now this sounds very beautiful, very contrary to the material world where, you know, people's feet don't usually smell very good. But in the spiritual world, the feet have this aroma. If you tell this to a non-devotee, they might be like, you guys smell feet? What's wrong with you? That's because you don't know what transcendental feet are like. You only know material gym feet. Persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound. So that aroma actually represents the sound vibrations of Krishna. Through the holes of the ears, so they're smelling through their ears. You follow the analogy? It's not smelling through the nose, it's smelling through the ears, because in the ears you pour in the narrations of Krishna. Accept your devotional service. So when that happens, when they hear about you, they become devotees. For then, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So somebody who smells Krishna's lotus feet, how does he smell? Anybody? How does he smell the lotus feet? Louder? Through the ears. And what's happening through the ears? What? What's happening through the ears? Past things are being poured into the ears. So he's smelling the lotus feet, which actually refers to him hearing about Krishna. And what happens as a result? He becomes a? And? He becomes a devotee. And then it says, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. That means Krishna is now caught within the hearts of such a person, and you're never separated from there. Actually, Gogamana Maharaj would say Krishna is crooked. He's bent in three places, right? Because when he falls into the heart, he doesn't come out so easily. Something is straight, it just goes in and comes out like a stick, you know? But when something is crooked, it goes into the heart and gets stuck there. There's a poetic rendition. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the purport, he says, this highest stage of relationship with the Lord can be attained simply by hearing about him, which means his name, his form, his qualities, from authentic sources like the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam recited by pure, unalloyed devotees of the Lord. So in other words, to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet by hearing about him allows us to advance the highest stage of relationship with the Lord. This is another way in which we can take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. One is by physically meditating on them, another is by actually hearing about Krishna. Then there's another very beautiful verse about Krishna's lotus feet that is worth quoting here, and I'll sing the Sanskrit because it's really beautiful. Tena smaranti atitaram priyamesha martyam ye chanvada suta surid krihavitta dara ye tabjanaba bhavadi apadara vinda Sogandhya Lupta Hidayeshu Krita Prasanga. O Lord who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet. So if anybody associates with a person who is actually hankering after Krishna's lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, So we just heard about what it means to seek the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. It means to always hear about Krishna. So what this verse is saying, that if, let's say, if someone who's not a devotee of the Lord associates with someone else who is a devotee, and what is the definition? He's always hankering to smell the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. In other words, he's always hankering to hear about Krishna. That's the definition of a devotee. He always wants to hear about Krishna. He, that person, is never attracted to the material body or inner bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. In other words, what this verse is saying, it's not that if you associate with a devotee, then you'll leave your poor wife all by herself. In other words, you lose that materialistic attachment. And you gain awareness of how the true purpose of being here is to go back home, back to Godhead. That's what the verse is really indicating. That when you associate with a devotee who always hankers to hear about Krishna, then you get that similar hankering. And then you realize, actually, the purpose of being in this world is to go back to my eternal home. And that's called taking advantage of the human form of life. So, I think it's clear that we must seek out the lotus feet of the Lord, either in their physical form, or by hearing about Krishna, or by associating with those who are hankering after the lotus feet. And I was just thinking a little bit about why this emphasis on the feet, right? In fact, we sing every morning in the Guru Vashtakam. What is the last line of the Guru Vashtakam? Every stanza, how does it end? Charanara Vindam. I take shelter of the lotus feet of my spiritual master. So why the lotus feet? So I just want to share some thoughts, and I'd like to hear what others have to say about this. So I couldn't find some direct purport from the Acharyas, just so you know. So this is just my humble like realization take on why we always emphasize taking shelter of the lotus feet. And as I was thinking about the topic, I realized that, you know, bhakti is the path of grace. It's not something we can demand. It's not something that we can have just because, you know, we have some material qualification. You know, we might be very good at waking up super early or like eating like, you know, one grape on Ekadashi, or, you know, like chanting hundreds of rounds, but or being really, really like poor. You know, just because you're really poor doesn't immediately qualify you for bhakti. Just because you built temples worth millions of dollars, that doesn't qualify you for bhakti. So there's no material qualification in terms of intelligence, financial ability, financial inability, nothing that can qualify you for bhakti. The only way we can have devotion is by mercy, by grace. Some devotee has to open his heart and let that mercy flow into you. And that's how we become recipients of bhakti. So I was thinking how in practical life, if you want to give someone something, then it's very nice if they are in this mood of receiving, right? Like if you're not thirsty and I come to you with water, then there's no pleasure in giving you water and there's no pleasure in you receiving water. But if you're extremely thirsty and I come to you with a cup of water, then there is a pleasure in giving it to you and there's a pleasure in receiving that. So my meditation was that, you know, the Shastra is always recommending meditation on the lotus feet, aspiring to attain the lotus feet of the spiritual master of the Lord, because it cultivates a very deep mood of humility. But actually, I'm very fallen. And for me, the most insignificant part of a person's body, even that is an honor. Even that is an honor. Usually when we meet someone, we look them in the eyes, we shake their hands. We don't just look at their feet, because the feet are very insignificant. And what's at the bottom of the feet? Some dust. Does anybody value the dust that their feet carries? No, anybody can just take the dust and give it. This is something very simple, you know. But if you ask someone to give their jewelry, if you ask someone to give their phone, if you ask someone to give their heart, these are very big things. These are very big things. But the devotee, he's telling the Lord, he's telling the spiritual master, you know what, if I can even ornament myself by the dust of your feet, the most insignificant part of your being, that'll become the most significant part of my being. This is the highest honor I can aspire for. Don't even give me a place in your heart. Just give me a little bit of dust from your lotus feet. Because I'm so fallen, this is all I deserve. In fact, even this I don't deserve. That's why I'm just asking for like the least part of you. Does that make sense? It's like asking someone, you know, just give me a little, it's like me telling Adam, you're leaving now for 2 days, we really miss you, so give me one of your socks. So I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's really weird. But you know, he's not God. But if he was, that sock would be worshipable. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of worshipping something that's divine, that even their most insignificant expansion can free us from material bondage. So, I have two more nice verses. Can I share? Nice verses. Two more nice verses. Okay. So this verse, is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila, and it talks about how one can attain Krishna's lotus feet. So we've discussed what the lotus feet mean, you know, the physical lotus feet, hearing about Krishna, associating with those who hanker after Krishna's lotus feet. But how do we attain Krishna's lotus feet? Someone's alarm's gone off. Okay, here we go.
Tate Krishna bhaje kare guru rase vana maya jala chute paya Krishna racharanan.
If the conditioned soul engages in the service of the Lord and simultaneously carries out the orders of his spiritual master and serves him, so both service to the Lord and service to the spiritual master, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and become eligible for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And just to end my class, I would like to share one last detail, that bhakti is always a very reciprocal way of life. Just as the devotee hankers to attain Krishna's lotus feet and serve the Lord actually is always hankering to serve his devotee. And this is a very interesting point. It's sort of missing in the theologies of the world. If you read the Bible, if you read the Quran, if you follow any other religious tradition, then the highest limit that the tradition goes to is one should glorify God, one should serve God, and that God is very merciful to us, right? But Gaudiya Vaishnavism presents a new concept. It's not so new actually, it's very old, but it's a very unheard of idea that the devotee wants to serve the Lord and the Lord wants to serve his devotee. The Lord wants to serve his devotee because Krishna is a person and he's not satisfied simply by receiving love, right? He also wants to give love. And we know this experientially a little bit, right? In the material world, maybe some people are very, very insecure, so they need constant like glorification and attention. But a normal, healthy human being, right? Someone who grew up with like loving parents and like a lot of shelter, he's quite secure. He or she doesn't need constant attention. They're actually looking for opportunities where they can also give. And there's a joy in that, right? Like when, like the other day we all cooked lunch together for the devotees. That was so nice. You know, we just, okay, let's do it. Let's cook together for the devotees. Let's give our energy to offer something to the Lord and also serve his parts and parcels. So there's something very beautiful about not just being the recipient of mercy, the recipient of love, the recipient of affection, but also giving it back. So why would Krishna not want to taste that? In fact, in our tradition, giving is the higher taste. there's more sweetness in being the giver than in being the receiver. So Krishna totally wants to experience that also. And that's why the Bhagavatam says, Nirapeksha munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuvajami ham nityam puye yeti amrirenubihi. With the dust of my devotee's lotus feet. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. So hear what he says. With the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. So actually Krishna has a program. His program is that he makes devotees walk all over the material world. Like for example, today Naveen Krishna will go to downtown Chicago. He will take his lotus feet to downtown Chicago. And then Bhakta Adam will take his lotus feet to Wisconsin. And then Bhakta Alex will take his lotus feet to Michigan and Jackson. And Jitendra Prabhu will take his lotus feet to Ace Hardware and pick up supplies for the temple. Mataji will go to Evanston. The Lord has his program of sending his devotees and their lotus feet to different parts of the material universe. And why does he do it? He wants to purify these places by the dust of his devotees' lotus feet. In fact, as soon as a devotee enters an atmosphere, you can feel a change. Right? The other day I was at the lake chanting japa. I'm just chanting, and guess who walks by? Terence. And he's also chanting japa. And immediately I felt the atmosphere just like, whoosh. It was already very beautiful because like, but the entrance of a devotee did something else to the atmosphere. It made it a little bit more auspicious. So this is Krishna's program. I send you, my devotee, to purify the material world. And then he says, thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees. And this is a very, very significant point. This is like a deep theological point in bhakti, that if we allow a pure devotee to enter our hearts, guess what happens next? Krishna follows him right in. So you want to capture Krishna in your heart, capture his pure devotee in your heart. Because wherever his pure devotee is, Krishna is there by default. Because he can't but be separated from his pure devotee. So this is the secret way in which the practitioner of bhakti becomes very expert or very advanced in Krishna consciousness. He becomes very attached to a devotee, to serving a devotee, to assisting a devotee, to worshipping a devotee. And by doing that, what does Krishna say right here in the Bhagavad? I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotee. So wherever a devotee walks in, Krishna is going to follow right in. And what is the quality of such a pure devotee? They're free from all personal desires. They are wrapped in thoughts of my pastimes. They are peaceful. They are without any feelings of enmity and of equal disposition everywhere. So this verse is also describing. Sometimes people wonder, what is a pure devotee? What does he look like? What are his attributes? Here you go. These are his attributes. They have no feelings of enmity. They have equal disposition everywhere. They're always wrapped in thoughts of Krishna's pastimes. They're peaceful. So you allow a devotee like that to enter into your heart, and magic happens. So there's a pastime I wanted to share, but it's short. No, I think it's good. No, you know what? I'm going to say it. It's a nice little story. So this happens in the Mahabharata. Everybody knows this pastime, I think, but we'll recite it for Jack's benefit. So the Mahabharata is the great epic, the great battle of actually two sets of cousins within the same family. And fast forward to a point before the battle is about to begin. And the two great warriors on either side, they go to Krishna to seek his help. Because everyone knows Vasudeva is something mystical. Everyone knows Krishna is extremely powerful, and having his support will greatly increase our chances of victory. So they both go to seek his support. Now one brother, his name is Arjuna, and the other is Duryodhan. So when Arjuna comes to seek Krishna's favor, he sees that Duryodhan is already sitting there, and he's sitting, Krishna is laying down, and he's sitting at the head of Krishna, like right next to his head. And what does Arjuna do? A devotee always hankers after Krishna's lotus feet. So he goes and sits by Krishna's feet. So when Krishna wakes up, like that, he sees Arjuna sitting here, and he asks Arjuna, hey, what can I do for you? You know, because that's who he sees first. He took the humble position. And the Duryodhana was like, no, wait a second, I came here first, so first you have to ask me, you know. He was very envious. He's like, no, hold on, because if you ask him first, then he'll take what I want. And of course, you know, so Duryodhana says, Krishna says, what can I do for you, Duryodhana? And Duryodhana says, you know, this great battle is coming up, and we want your support. And Krishna says, well, I've taken a vow not to support either side because I'm related to both of you. So Duryodhana says, fine, no problem, I'll take your army. Because Krishna had this army of warriors who were invincible, like samurai warriors, but they can't be defeated at all. And so Krishna said, yeah, you can take my army, no problem. Actually, no. He tells Arjuna, because he's younger, that he should go first. And Duryodhana was really worried that, oh, now he's going to ask for Krishna's army. Anyways, Arjuna says, I just want you. Even though you're not going to fight, I want you to be my chariot driver. And that's how he becomes Arjuna's chariot driver in the Bhagavad Gita. And Duryodhana is very happy and he says, I'll take your army. Of course, he made a mistake because Krishna's army is very powerful, but the source of that army is even more powerful. So he should have asked for Krishna. But anyway, this is the benefit of sitting by Krishna's lotus feet. It's a cute little pastime. So that's my presentation for today. Does anybody have any corrections or comments or reflections? We'll take reflections first. Anybody have a reflection they want to share? Karanidhi Prabhu? Adam, you want to do a mic? They're right next to the mixer. You can just turn it on before you give it to them. Do second, on ho jayega. Do second. On off mat karo. Let's go on hi rakho. It takes 2 seconds, right, Josh? The switch is on, but he keeps turning it on and off. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, this very nice class and nice description about lotus feet of Krishna. That in Brahma Samhita also it is stated, Jatpada Pallava Dham Bindha Kunde Dhamde Sagana Adhiraja Vignan Vyanta Manasya Jagatrayan. That means how the lotus feet of Krishna can dispel all the obstacles. It is described there by Brahma, Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
And Also, this lotus feet, there is so soothing to the heart of devotees. You know, there is, I forgot another verse also, that how devotee takes life and soul for the lotus feet of Krishna, and they depend upon it. And like similar example also given, like Nithai Prada Kamala, Bhattichandra Sisitala, that's how it suits the million of moons, like, you know, pools, like, you know, today. And yeah, there's another point you said, like that how it is purifying everything, you know. So regarding that, there is a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that Tadbhaga Visarga Jantar Vitlava.
Yes, man, Pati Shloka.
Like, what is another? Jagga Prabhravati Karichit.
Salirena Karichit.
Namunani Arantasya, Nishasani Katani Yad. Sumanti Granti Granti Sadhava. That verse. Very nice verse. That is how it purifies, you know, this literature, like a special Prabhupada books, how it is purifying the whole world. And every Jasmin Prati Slokam, Avadhavati Api, means in every sloka, in every verse, there is a lot of Prati Slokam, Avadhavati, you have to understand very nicely, so that it purifies, you know. It just act like time bomb, wherever it is put, like, you know, accordingly it blast out, like that. Very nice.
Thank you.
And about, you said something like the plug, I could not catch, what was that?
Like?
Plug in the lotus feet of Krishna, what is the significance?
Flower?
Plug.
Plug?
Plug.
Plug. A flag. There is a flag on Krishna's lotus feet, and if I remember correctly, it's just like a flag signifies victory. A flag signifies victory, so one who takes shelter of lotus feet of Krishna will be victorious over the material energy. That's what the flag signifies. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other reflections, Mother Krishna Archana? Anything from you? No. Josh? Anybody has
I had one thing that I wanted to share for part
please.
Of the discussion. I, for one, just thank you. Such a nice class, so many nice examples.
Hare Krishna.
Especially appreciated your elaboration on the marks on Krishna's feet and the elephant goad. Krishna, please, you know, my mind is just here and there. You just, you know, because it's kind of a harsh treatment.
Yeah.
Will you just please, I want that. You know, we should pray to Krishna that please, that's what I want. My mind is crazy. I just need a little, give me something so I can focus. I like this. So thank you. I was remembering something that Sri Srimad Gaura Govinda Maharaj would often say about the lotus feet of Guru and the lotus feet of Krishna. And he gives a very beautiful kind of drawn out metaphor. So, the conditioned souls are compared to honeybees who are going around the world, all around this universe, because a honeybee, it collects nectar. And so honeybees, always in search of nectar, always in search of pleasure, they go around and they go to different flowers and they seek out nectar. But the thing about flowers is some of them have some nectar, some have little nectar, some may have a lot of nectar, but they also have thorns. And so the bees, they go and they go to these flowers, like the Atasi flower. And they land there and they drink, but then when they try to leave, the thorns catch their wings and tear their wings and cause terrible suffering. Some flowers, they actually have a mechanism because they actually eat the bees. They're actually carnivorous plants. They have wonderful nectar, amazing nectar. But then when the bee goes, it falls into the trap and it gets eaten. It gets swallowed up by the flower. So the lotus feet of Guru are compared to, they're called the lotus feet of Guru because a lotus flower is the supreme flower. It has for a bee, for all intents and purposes, it has an unending stock of nectar. So the bee can go and it can drink and drink and drink and drink And the lotus flower is so benevolent, Guru is so benevolent, that when that honeybee lands on the lotus flower, if he drinks too much and he becomes so drunk that he can't fly, at night the lotus flower will close over him and provide him shelter so that he can actually rest. This actually happens. It's actually a thing. And then he'll open back up so the bee can go away. So the lotus flower is providing the most amazing shelter. The lotus feet of Guru, the lotus feet of Krishna are providing the actual shelter for the conditioned soul who's flying around the universe looking for nectar.
Guru Pada Padma. Beautiful. Anybody else have a reflection? Alex? Anyone?
Thank you, Harisham Prabhu. I have a question relating to that comment. Of course, one can't take shelter directly of Krishna's lotus feet. So I was wondering maybe if you could explain the importance or maybe the how to take shelter of one's Shiksha or Diksha Guru.
Yeah, so when Hiranyakashipu is interrogating Prahlad, and he's kind of wondering, like, from how did you become such a devotee, you know? And Prahlad is kind of instructing his father, and he says that people like you can actually never become devotees. Not by the good instructions of others, not by Vedic scriptures, not by any austerities. You cannot become devotees. So then one might wonder, well, how will they become devotees actually? And Prahlad Maharaj says, you can only become a devotee by bathing in the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. So this is your question. And Srimad Shachabari Thakur explains in his commentary, what does it mean to bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee? On one level, yes, practically it means that when the Guru is walking into the temple room, you should roll behind him. Might be a little socially inappropriate, but you can take that, that's bona fide. You can take the dust of your Guru's lotus feet and let it rub all over your body. But a more, perhaps a more sober application is to bathe oneself in the instructions and the character of one's Guru. That's what Sri Vishwanath says. That's what it means to smear yourself with the dust of the Guru's lotus feet. So you meditate on his character, you meditate on his instructions. One of my dear friends, Deva Madhava, once said to me that the turning point in his spiritual life came when he started praying to his spiritual master. In this way, he would say, my dear beloved Gurudev, allow me to follow your innermost desire. And as soon as we as practitioners pray to follow the innermost desire of our gurus, then something magical can happen in our life, if we actually want to. You know, and meditating on their instructions, meditating on their character, how would they carry themselves, you know what I'm saying? We should, you know, it's like whenever we're in a situation, we can always have this little catchphrase in our minds, what would blank do? And blank can be the name of your spiritual master or your guru, your some senior devotee you really look up to, you know? So anytime we're in a tough spot, what would blank do? How would blank react, you know? And in this way, we make it very practical, you know? Just like yesterday, we were on books, and I was struggling a little bit. So I was like, what would Gopal Champa do right now, Josh? You know, Gopal's a big book distributor. So, you know, it's like that. Well, you know, we just make it a meditation as we walk through life. We have a conflict with a devotee. We're struggling to do a service. We got up late. We're not able to chant our japa nicely. You know, we're not able to express compassion or gratitude. Whatever struggle we have, we can ask ourselves, what would so-and-so do? And use their example as an inspiration to come out of a lower state of consciousness and into a higher state of consciousness. And then remember, if there's any instructions they may have given us, something we heard from them, hearing from them regularly, these are the practical ways in which we can receive the dust of a devotee's lotus feet by meditating on their character and by following their instructions. Real practical. But you can also take their shoes and rub it all over your body, but you know, that may not have as much effect as actually following their instructions. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Any reflections, corrections? No? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Krishna's lotus feet ki. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.